Welcome back to the Sports Ticket, joined now by Brian Heaney, the voice of the KU Jayhawks, as it is College and Pro Week here on the Ticket. On Tuesday, we talked to Wyatt Thompson, the voice of the K-State Wildcats. Yesterday, Matthew Derrick with Chiefs Digest, talk Chiefs. Today, Brian talking Jayhawks, and tomorrow, Ryan LaFever, the voice of the Kansas City Royals, to talk Royals baseball, and hopefully there will be some baseball this season. We're also hoping there's going to be college football, and that's where Brian comes in. Brian, my man, it hasn't been a long time since we talked, but man, it feels like it's been a very long time.
It does. It's really only been about 2.5 months since March the 12th that we'll all always remember, never forget, and always remember probably right where we were at when we heard the words canceled for March Madness. But, it seems like it's been a lot longer than 2.5 months, but that's really all it's been. And great to see now that gradually students are coming back on campus and allowed to participate again. And hopefully we can get back to whatever the new normal is going to look like. And I'm not sure we fully know just yet what that will be. But the fact that we are inching in that direction and some of the professional sports leagues are inching closer to coming up with their plans certainly gives you some optimism. We're not out of the woods yet by any means. You caution folks from acting like we are, you know, in our own day-to-days, but the fact that you can at least see the light at the end of the tunnel is something that we as sports fans have desperately needed.
Brian Heaney, the voice of the Jayhawks, our guest today on the Sports Ticket. I'll ask you the same question I asked Wyatt Thompson, the voice of the Wildcats, on Tuesday, and that is, what are your thoughts? There's no right or wrong answer here. Just how are you feeling in regards to, do you think college football, we will have college football? It's a two-part question. We will have college football, one, and two, will we start on time?
I think yes and yes. And the qualifier on your second question is maybe reasonably close to on time. Mm-hmm. If not the very first date we're supposed to, maybe within a week or two. Mm-hmm. But I fully expect that we're going to get college football in. I mean, people don't realize it's a $4 billion industry.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean lining the pockets of ADs and coaches. That means all aspects of stadium workers and you know, the medical side and the vending side and all that. Obviously, the TV dollars are the biggest. But the point is, like, the American economy really needs this to happen as well, as it does with all of our professional sports, and I would argue, as it did with March Madness. You know, I'm still, just to be honest with you, trying to grapple with the fact that we aren't going to get some form of an NCAA tournament. And to me, and this is not the time to get up on a soapbox here, you're asking about football, but if the NBA does ultimately, you know, decide to have their season all in one location in Orlando in late July, why couldn't you maybe get the top 16 teams in college basketball in one location and knock it out over the course of a week? If we're allowing athletes back on campus to resume workouts and start preparing toward a season, why not allow basketball athletes the chance to finish what they started? And for those that would say, yeah, but so many of these guys have packed their bags and they're focused on the draft, well, guys, the draft isn't happening when drafts usually happen. It's going to be pushed to a fall anyway. So, I'm just getting at the point of it's going to happen. Football will, and that's great because we need it to. But for those of us at the blue-blooded basketball schools who always say our favorite 3 weeks out of the 52 weeks are those 3 weeks in March and hopefully early April if you're good enough, this will always be one that feels empty and what if, because, man, did we feel great about our chances heading in. And I don't want it to sound like, oh, just because we were the presumed number one, that's why I'm so adamant that we should have had some kind of basketball. I mean, I'm not the only one saying it. Bob Huggins at West Virginia is saying, why don't we start next college basketball season with the end of the previous college basketball season? I think we're all thinking, well, man, if the NBA can eventually do something, why can't we? You know, hopefully, even if that's not meant to be and that argument is dead and buried, hopefully at least the football guys won't have their seasons interrupted. I just have my heart break every time I think about what Udoka's legacy could have been and what Devon Dotson's legacy could have been. And for all of our Jayhawk fans who you know, eat, sleep, drink, breathe basketball and they wanted that sixth banner so stinking bad, to always wonder and never know for sure how it might have gone. It's certainly disappointing.
Yeah, it is, and certainly not only at the college level. I mean, we certainly see it at the high school level, and I was just thinking about that the other day, the team that I cover. I mean, they were They were two wins away from the first state championship the year before. They were in the state finals, and then they worked so hard to get back there, and then all of a sudden you make the semis, and that's that. And it happened to all these many, many different high school teams, not only across the state of Kansas, but across the country. And the proverbial what if, and we'll never know. We can talk about all we want, and we can say, well, the percentages were in favor. Yeah, percentages are percentages. That's why they always play the games. And in this case, we didn't play the games, unfortunately. I understand what you're saying. Obviously, there'd be a lot to handle to even do that. I mean, you got guys transferring already from schools, and some would have been from probably those 16 teams. How would you have handled that, and so forth and so on? But I totally get what you're saying, and I understand the passion that Coach Huggins and you and many others have in regards to that, and I would love to see it as well. And some people say, well, there'd be an asterisk. Well, I'd rather have an asterisk than nothing at all. I'd be okay with that personally, yeah. But anyway, I'd love to see the high school stuff pick up and finish, but that's not going to happen either, unfortunately. What about the financial impact of COVID-19? Certainly, the University of Kansas coming out yesterday, and Athletic Director Jeff Long talking about furloughs and pay cuts and so forth and so on. And you can refer what you want to specifically or whatever you feel free to talk about. But what about the COVID-19, the financial impact? Because you mentioned football is a $4 billion industry, so it is really important that we can get it up and going at the same time while trying to keep people safe and healthy. And to me, it's a bit of a catch-22, no doubt. But the impact financially that is happening, if it's happening in the University of Kansas, imagine how it's happening to smaller schools, Division II schools, and we're seeing some universities cutting sports programs or even departments within the university academically, like Akron.
Yeah, no doubt. And I've heard from some friends that do play-by-play at some smaller colleges that are still D1 but are smaller conference schools where baseball, for example, is getting canceled, and programs that have had baseball since 1898. Mm. It just breaks your heart to see that, because you know that's the livelihood of a lot of people working in that athletic department, and it's the dreams of a lot of those kids that are playing. So, you know, thankfully, at Kansas, I think Jeff Long and our leadership, our financial team in particular, have done a remarkable job in trying to have as little of an impact as possible on the livelihood of all the people that work for us, which, you know, you've got 300-400 folks that consider that their full-time job. And thankfully, you know, with the program they put in place, provided we get football back and that financial backbone returns, then it's just going to six-month hit. And you know, I think it's not nearly as bad as it could have been or has been at other places. And I give our administration and Jeff Long the credit there for getting out in front of this and doing what they can, but absolutely, there's financial loss for everybody involved, myself included, and furloughs involved for a lot of people to try to curb some of that financial loss. But you're probably going to have both, and so it's disappointing. But at the same time, you know, they did the first thing of taking 10% salary reductions from the three biggest names out there, Self, Miles, and Long. And realize that wasn't going to be enough. And so this was a necessary next step, but I think they've done everything in their power to soften the blow as much as possible for their employees. And we're finding ways to work from home and still get the job done, you know, to get us as ready as possible for when play resumes and all that. So making the most of an impossible situation on so many levels and an unprecedented situation for leadership. So this isn't a guy giving you the company line. This is an employee that genuinely is grateful for you know, what they've done to try to make it as easy on us as possible, knowing that a lot of my peers in the industry have had, you know, full-time furloughs, not just a couple of weeks, or you know, major financial implications out of this. And we may not be done hearing about that. We're probably not out of the woods in that regard, but it hasn't been as bad as it could be, and I think that has to do with great planning and leadership from the top.
Voice of the Kansas Jayhawks, Brian Haney, is with us here today on The Ticket. Interesting article, I don't know if you've read it, by Dennis Dodd at CBSSports.com. And there's things that Dennis writes that I don't agree with. There's things that he writes I respect, and I understand what he's doing. It's a very lengthy article, I don't know if you've seen it or not, about how we may be reaching a tipping point for the Power 5 conferences to break away from the FBS. squad on their own. That's basically 64 schools, I believe, total, plus Notre Dame, of course, as an independent. Then you'd have to add some other schools into the mix in regards to scheduling, so forth and so on. I don't know if you read the article, but what I'm sure you've heard this before. I mean, pretty much everybody has. In regards to that rumor that's been out there for not just recently, but for a while, about the Power Five conferences breaking off.
Haven't read the article. Certainly you hear the chatter for sure. And it seems like circumstances have come to a head where, you know, that's a more realistic conversation to have. But believe me, I'd hate to give a quote that would wind up on a message board and Jeff sure. Why are you talking about that?
Sure. Right.
But yeah, it's certainly a very fascinating time that we're in right now, because in some regards, even within NCAA jurisdiction on like the player compensation and player likeness stuff and all that, the tectonic plates beneath us are shifting, and stuff's about to change dramatically. You know, the possibility of some of these transfer rules now, I mean, it's going to feel like free agency in some regards if certain plans take shape. And then, you know, you start to wonder about is this the best way to have it structured and managed in other aspects. So I think a lot is changing, and the landscape of college athletics, as you and I have grown up following it and loving it, is going to look vastly different for your children and for that next generation, with the day-to-day, you know, practices of coaches in stacking their rosters, the way athletes are compensated. And I'm personally, a little concerned about the money that some of these guys, you know, are going to be taking in. And I know Reggie Bush came out and said something the other day about it. You know, giving an 18-year-old with very little financial planning, you know, all this money that could come in endorsements and that kind of thing, even though schools will certainly try to equip them with knowledge on how best to handle it and all that, it could be a slippery slope there, and you could be opening yourself up to a lot of damage. And so, you know, you asked about, you know, breaking away with the Power Five schools and all that, and these are all issues right now that are close to coming about, or at least being discussed with greater possibility and seriousness tone to them, and all of them are a little bit scary if you think about it. Mm-hmm. But the breakaway could be very interesting, no doubt. I don't know how soon that would come, but clearly we're on the brink of a lot of stuff that 10 years ago, even 5 years ago, probably seemed unfathomable. Mm-hmm. and now, you know, could be very real. And as I said, you know, for Noah and the rest of the children there in the Gerster household, yeah, it's going to be unlike at all what you and I have come accustomed to seeing.
Absolutely. Already going through that. I don't, as a parent, I can't tell my son who's, you know, 13, going to be 14, and if I had a senior kid right now with the – I feel so bad for the senior class because of the graduation situation, which hopefully they'll have one somehow, some way, and then missing your spring sport on top of, in some situations, being so close to winning a state title in other sports. And then on top of all that, that people kind of forget, is the unknown about going to college right now. I mean, when I graduated high school way back in the Stone Ages, I remember when I graduated high school, I was excited about going to college. In fact, I kind of couldn't wait to go to college and be independent. Now, you've got folks, kids, parents that are concerned and worried when this should be a joyful occasion, worried and timid and cautious about sending their kids to college.
Yeah, it's unlike anything we've ever seen. And the simplest of joys and things we've taken for granted, now you think twice about before you even do it. And that's a real shame in all this. But we'll find ways to adjust and adapt, and hopefully sooner rather than later that they find that vaccine and we're able to enjoy life as we knew it again. But more so than that, back on your just NCAA practices thing, I just think there's so much change coming. And for some coaches longer in the tooth, I'm not saying Bill Self, I'm talking about guys maybe Roy Williams' age, mm-hmm. Around 70, would you really want to carry on in this brave new world of athletes being compensated and guys being able to transfer willy-nilly? And it seems to me like it's about to be just vastly different, and to like start from the ground zero on, you know, what you've been able to do. I would fear if you lean on a player too hard in practice one day, if you get after him too bad, he's going to up and transfer the next day.
Yeah.
I would fear how these guys are spending the extra pocket money that they're getting from car dealership endorsements and stuff like that in terms of stuff that you wouldn't want them to spend their money on, you know.
And right.
These are all extra things you now have to regulate. And it just it makes it, when you add in the social media aspect and having to control the young men and women on that now, coaching was so much easier even 10 years ago, mm-hmm. but especially 20 and 30 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
This is so much that's evolving, and I don't know if all of it is evolving for the better, quite frankly.
No, I agree with you, and we've talked about it for a while, and that you know the conversation's been that for a very, very, very long time about players getting compensated, paid at the college level, and so forth. And the simplest way I've explained my feeling on it is, it doesn't matter what I think per se. All that I will say is, once you open up that box, it's a Pandora's box, and once you open it up,
yep.
I don't know what all is going to come out, and odds are you're not going to be able to put it back in. One more thing, and then we can actually talk about some of the players for basketball. I want to talk about the recruiting class and see what you can say about those that will be coming in. I know you can't talk about kids that obviously aren't ready to go or are prospective recruits. But one more thing, and I'll be remiss, and you know it's probably coming. I've got to ask you this. I'm not doing my job if I don't. What is the latest, or what can you tell us, or what are you able to tell us about the NCAA and their case versus the University of Kansas?
Well, I think that as it heads to the appeals committee, there's real confidence from Coach Self and our administration and their legal team that even though we've had a very stern, some would say bullish stance on all this, that they feel justified and validated in taking the strong approach that they have, and they feel good about their case and their chances, you know, with a group of non-NCAA officials, you know, sifting through the evidence at this point. And so, you know, I'll stand by the quotes that Coach Self and Jeff Long have had throughout, but it's definitely been eye-opening the fervor and strength with which Kansas has fired back, and some people have been taken aback by that, but they wouldn't be as bold and unabashed if they didn't feel really justified. And so, you know, say what you want to say about if you like the approach or not, but I guess I like the confidence and the fact that they feel like in many regards they're the victims in this. And so, you know, thankfully with the new policies that are in place, you'll have a third-party group, you know, ultimately deciding your fate here. And I know they've been working tirelessly to put Kansas in the best position to have the best case in that regard. That's probably all I should say, because it's not my issue to talk about. But I am... While we're all anxious, okay, just to be real, I am very confident in our leadership, and I'm drawing personal confidence from the strength in their words. Not that means we think we got this thing beat or Kansas is in the stronger side of the equation. We're not talking expectantly at all, but in Bill we trust, right? And in this, I think he and his legal team have worked exhaustively to put themselves in the best position possible, and he continues to remain confident and strong in his stance there. And so I'm drawn to that strength and leadership in the same way that his players are in the huddle as they head out on the floor, and we're going to trust that, you know, whatever happens, come heck or high water, we've done our best to give Kansas the best shot at escaping this thing without the type of punishment that some are fearing the worst on. But you never know. And it's certainly been an all-in approach, so hopefully it does go our way. But the fact that they saw Kansas being wronged in this and felt like the storyline and a lot was being twisted and contorted, and so rather than just taking it as, well, that's the way it's going to be, they pushed back a little bit and did so with justified, you know, tangible evidence as to why. Yeah, that has to give you a little bit of confidence in the way that we're approaching this whole thing. And some hope, obviously, that it's going to end up breaking, if not in our favor, breaking in an agreeable outcome that allows us to move on, put this behind us. And I will say this, as we get set to talk about, you know, the next wave of players coming in, but I will say this, he's done, Bill Self and his staff, an incredible job of recruiting in the midst of all this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, imagine every living room you go into,
yeah,
the kid's already been told by your competition, well, don't go to Kansas because they're going to get hit with probation or they're going to get hit with this. Or who knows about Coach Self? And yet they're still able to get Bryce Thompson. They're still able to get Tyon Grant Foster, the number one junior college player in the country. And they're adding more names, which I can't talk about, on the verbally commit list. So it's been some of his best recruiting to pull together a class that you can be excited about when you've been fighting an uphill battle, given all of the cloud hanging over with the pending investigation and the negative recruiting that you know exists from teams that want that player just as bad as you do, and they're going to say whatever they need to say to dissuade them from coming to Kansas.
Well, and I'm glad you went there because that, of course, that was where I was going next. I kind of teased that a little bit, and we can either I have somebody kind of said this. I don't know exactly how they worded it, but we can dwell on the past all we want, but nothing's going to change. All we have to do is to get excited and look towards the future. And the future is the future. I mean, it's coming up this next season, whether it be football, whether it be basketball. You know, God willing that we have it. So we assume that we're going to have it. Men's basketball, what is this team like right now? I'm sure you've already done it. You looked at it and go, okay, this guy would plug into this spot. This guy would be plugging this. And this guy's, oh, man, he's a talented recruit that he got coming in. And, I mean, Kansas, they don't rebuild. They reload. You lose Dotson and Udoka Azubuike, you've lost the best center point guard tandem in all of America from a number one team. And yet Kansas is probably going to be still ranked in the top 10, top 5 when the rankings come out before the season begins. I'm sure you've had a little bit of fun trying to see who's going to fit in what holes, right?
Yeah, for sure. And it's a tough one to figure out. Like, you're so loaded at the wing position. When you list off potential starters, like, I think Marcus Garrett's probably going to be your point guard taking over for Devon Dotson. And that's a role that he's been excited about for over a year now and taking the reins and is chomping at the bit to show what he can do there. But then look at the other wing talent. If he's running the one, well then, okay, so maybe Brown and Ochai start, maybe. But Tyon Grant Foster, Bill Self said back in January, he would have been the best player on this year's team, like Devon and Udoka's team. And so he's clearly going to be one of your big bell cows. And then you look at the rest of the freshmen from last year, like Jalen Wilson, we really don't know what we have in him, but he's a top 50 guy. Tristan Anarumo is a top 50 guy that might have the highest ceiling of the three of those guys, including Brown. They're not going to start, but they're obviously wanting minutes. Bryce Thompson's a guy that could start. McDonald's All-American, top 25 overall recruit. And on down the line from there, you just got a ton of small forward and shooting guard options. And you'll probably have a rotation of 7-8 guys for those two or three spots. And I say or three spots because outside of the point, they may have a lot of guards and wings in a four-guard, one-big lineup. And you still have bigs of David McCormick, Mitch, and Silvio, and now Jethro Muscadden, who knows, he might take a redshirt. But you've got enough bigs to where you could have some two big sets, but I think we're going to see four around one for the most part. And that's a good thing because you got to have enough balls and minutes to go around with seven or eight really talented players that all play the two through the four position. And the four, I'm including guys like, you know, an Inaruna type or a Jalen Wilson type, not your true power forward, but a longer, taller, leaner for in this day and age of college basketball, playing more guard-oriented, guard-skill-type tall players. So, to me, that's the strength of this team, and that's a position that previously you would have put Marcus Garrett in that position group, two through the three, and I really believe, though, he's going to have the reins at the point guard. So, you move him over, you know, Thompson will have some time on the ball, you would think, but you got a whole bunch of other wing talent, and that's where we'll really see the cream rise to the top here. How big of a leap does Ochai Agbaji make heading into his junior year with draft expectations? How big of a leap do the freshmen from a year ago, Brown, Inaruna, and Wilson, all make? How good really is Tyon Grant Foster? And then you've got, you know, other guards that, you know, DeJuan Harris was a redshirt last year. He'll certainly get minutes in backing up Marcus at the point. You know, Latrell Joffre's guy is a great shooter. Might be the best shooter on the roster, you know, based on some of the comments I've heard from our coaches. But I don't know that there's a ton of minutes up front for him. But the point is, you are just bursting at the seams with guys at the 2, 3, and 4 position. And so it'll be real interesting to see how that rotation takes shape, what the 2 deep, which is more of a football term than basketball, but kind of what it looks like for starters and their primary backups, because there's a lot of guys that are interchangeable parts and pieces that could easily fit in and play prominent roles, but only so many minutes to go around.
All right, time for the off-the-wall questions. I've got two for you. Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, with us today on the Sports Ticket. So my wife and I, on Memorial Day, our kids were with my sister, which I don't know what she was thinking. She took on 3 boys plus the 2 she had, and still lived to tell about it. And we got the kids back yesterday, and coincidentally, I had a massive headache. I don't know if that's a coincidence my kids came back and had a massive headache. I have no idea. But anyway, we were cleaning and reorganizing the house on Memorial Day, and I found a box of old play-by-play cassettes and CDs of work that I did when I first started in radio doing play-by-play, all the way back when I was an intern at the radio station McPherson back in 1994, which leads me to the question for you, because I have 2 tapes in my hand right now. I have not listened to them yet. I am a little bit apprehensive in listening to these because I know they're not going to sound very good. At least I don't think they're going to. And that was 20-some years ago. So the question for you is, the first game you ever broadcast on the radio, do you remember who was playing, how it turned out? How did it go for you? How did it come about that you were able to broadcast that first ever game, or one of your first games that you recall?
Yeah, you know, I was fortunate to get to do some stuff when I was in high school in Topeka, first for public access TV, but then KMAJ and Mike Mann, Bill Griffin picked me up, and I was doing stats for them, and then I would come on and do halftime and postgame on the air, which basically was their chance to take a pee break. And a real glorious role.
Yeah.
But that was a big deal for a 16-year-old, so I kept those stats meticulously and tried to deliver them articulately in the 3 or 4 minutes I got. And the first tournament I ever worked was the Topeka Invitational Tournament, and that was probably 1996-ish, okay. 1997 maybe. And then you do the games at KU on the student station, KJHK. I think my first call there was Kansas Women versus Butler. And there were probably 300 people in the stands and 3 people listening on the radio. But, man, I prepared like it was the Super Bowl and was so excited as a true freshman to be calling an actual game play-by-play on the radio. Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. And it was so much fun. But yeah, those were humble beginnings and yet opportunities that I'm so grateful for to this day.
Is that something that if you had the cassette or CD right now of that broadcast, is it something you would be like, hey, I want to pop that in and see how great or bad I sounded? Or would you be like, you know what, I'm just going to put that off till I'm really, really bored?
I think we'd all cringe if we heard. I know for me, like, my voice is probably 2 octaves higher and talked a lot faster and used a lot more cliches and nicknames and stuff that Tom Hetrick tried to get out of me. Mm-hmm. And by that, I mean get out of my system. So yeah, there would have been a lot of that shtick. But I'd listen to it. I still have cassette tapes of that. I just don't have anything to play the cassette tapes on.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we all kept some of our stuff, whether we truly want to go back and listen to it or not. Our mamas do.
Yeah.
And so we got it tucked away somewhere, and you and me are both on that list.
All right, last one for you before we let you go. How long did you go without a haircut, or have you still gone without a haircut?
I look like those cavemen on the Geico commercials right now. This is a Zoom call. I'm supposed to get one on June the 2nd. My 40th birthday is June the 3rd. Gosh, I hope I'm able to get it. I now have an interview with a coach, and I'm trying to reschedule. They won't call me back. It's funny, these hair places now, like an appointment is like the president or something. It's such demand. So, yeah, I'm looking pretty shaggy. It's not to the point where it's like hanging down long like Jesus or something like that,
right.
But it's definitely like I've got the wings that whip out if you're wearing a hat, and they're kind of like whipping out over your ears, so to speak. And it's not mullet territory in the back, but it's pretty thick and bushy. So I'm ready, man. And I flirted with the do you grow a goatee in the midst of this.
Yeah.
I've never been a goatee guy. It's too itchy. But I do kind of look like a woolly mammoth as we get set to head to June.
Dude, I think it'd be hilarious on your 40th birthday to put a picture of yourself on Twitter or Facebook, whatever it may be, Instagram, showing this is what age does to a guy. And just have it be like, wow, Brian's really let himself go. He's 40. Wow, midlife crisis. And then, of course, the next day you get it all cut because that's when you have your haircut scheduled. I haven't had a haircut since January, and I'm supposed to get mine tomorrow morning. So I'm looking forward to that.
Man, we'll save those long locks, give them the Locks of Love or something, because you probably, if you're going since January, you've got way more hair than I do.
Well, you know, I will say this. There's good things and bad things about it. One, you know you can grow hair. You still have it. That's better than those that are bald, although they don't have anything to worry about scheduling appointments if they're bald. The hair is over the ears, like you talked about, which I kind of think is that's cool. I'm like, all right, I'm growing hair. But the bad thing is now you see more gray. Because there's more hair there above the ear. And then I like to think the hair is longer in the back and a little bit curled. And I like to think that the more hair I have on my head and longer I've gone without haircuts helps fill maybe a bare spot that's in the back of my head. But I'm not brave enough to get that mirror, you know, look at an angle from behind and see if it's still there. I'm pretty sure it's probably still there and I'll be disappointed. So I'm just going to believe what I want to believe and then I'll get my hair cut and I'll be back to where I was in January.
Well, send me pictures. I want to see how it goes. Man.
No, I probably won't. Probably won't. I probably will not do that. I want to see a comparison side by side of the caveman from Geico and a picture of you. I got to see that. A side by side. That would be awesome. I'd be awesome. Man, I did not know Brian Haney was in the Geico commercials. That is amazing stuff.
Right?
Yeah, that's fantastic. Hey, buddy, it's always a pleasure talking to you. And hopefully next time we're chatting, we're talking about college football and we're getting up and ready to go. And you stay healthy, my friend. Enjoy your 40th birthday. And best of health to you and your mom and family and friends and everybody in Lawrence.
All the best to you and yours, my friend. Thanks for having me on. And hopefully we'll talk in a couple of months.
Sounds good. Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, this week on College Pro Week. Tomorrow, the voice of the Royals, Ryan LaFever, will join us.